It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Well, at least once a year, we like to focus on the community of Twain Heart on Motherlode Views. And today, we're pleased to be joined on the program by Tom Trott. He's the General Manager of the Twain Heart Community Services District. General Manager Trott, welcome to the show.
Thank you, BJ. Thanks for having me.
You know, first off, let's establish, what is the Twain Heart Community Services District?
Twain Heart Community Services District is a local government. It's a special district that manages water, sewer, fire, and park for the community of Twain Heart. And that's really just the downtown area of Twain Heart. So it doesn't include Brentwood Lake or Lakewood area. It's mainly that 3-square-mile area of downtown. A community service district, those are the things that we oversee, but a community services district has the ability to oversee about 32 different types of services. Those are just the ones that our community selected for us to oversee.
So how long has the district been established?
District came into being in 1996, and at that time, there were 3 different districts. There was a fire district, a park district, and a county water and sewer district. And the community decided at that time that it would be better to put them all together. That way you have one board, one place to go seek all your information, and the ability to do things a little more efficiently.
So you're the general manager, and then you also have a board of directors that oversees decisions as well?
Yes. We have a 5-member board. They are elected. They all live within the district. Our board president is Eileen Mannix, vice president Charlotte Bowman, and we have Gary Sipperly and Richard Knudsen, and then we actually last week just appointed a new member as one of our other directors resigned. Her name is Mary Dearborn.
Okay. And then there's a major park project that's getting underway, and as you mentioned, parks are something that the district oversees. What can you tell us about this new effort?
Yeah, major park project. It's something we're really excited about, and I hope the community is excited about too, because they've been involved since the beginning. It's something that's, it's been about 5 or 6 years in the making. So it started in about 2017. A local resident, Julie Cowell, she donated a 1-acre parcel downtown to the CSD. It's right next to Epperson Park. And it was part of her dream, actually, that she shared with her late husband, Bob Cowell, to provide a community area and place that really looked like the mountain community that we live in, and it's a place where the community could gather to relax and enjoy and play together. And so this, like I said, this started about 6 years ago, and we knew from that time we were super excited to be able to work on a project like this. But our park fund, our park division is, well, I'd say the poorest of all of our divisions. It's about $150,000 a year in property taxes, and that's to maintain a whole variety of facilities. And so we knew from the beginning if this was going to be a successful project, it had to be a community project. So that vision that Julie had, it really went into play right away. So we got together with the community. The community really gathered around just even the design of it. We had community workshops, design workshops, where people laid out, they got into groups and they had big drawings that were to scale, and they laid out all these ideas. We had about 50 or more ideas of what was going to go there. And, you know, as you know, for a 1-acre parcel, you can't really fit 50 things on that. So we had this great process where the community got together and they slowly narrowed in on what was really important, what really reflected Twain Heart, and we got to a conceptual design. And so this new park that is now in construction, excitedly, it has a few main things. So it has a bunch of things in it, but really it's going to have an open meadow space there. There's going to be a large rustic pavilion, big enough where the community could gather, where you can have large community events, weddings, things of that nature. Really beautiful, really will echo the aesthetic charm of Twain Heart with big beams, things like that. It's going to have a water play area where kids can play in the water and have fun. Not necessarily something that looks like a splash pad that you might see at a typical park, but one that more reflects a mountain stream. And then also kind of like a flume play area that teaches the kids about where our water comes from. So there's a lot of education in there as well. There's some picnic and barbecue areas. There's going to be a town Christmas tree. There's going to be a Miwok Indian garden that teaches about some of the cultural Miwok things and plants that are used. And the whole thing is going to be chock full of hands-on education about water and stormwater and fire and Twain Hart history.
Yeah, very exciting project for Twain Hart. So you mentioned it's next to Epperson Park. Can you kind of paint a little bit of a mental picture exactly where this new park's going to be?
Yeah, sure. Yes, it is literally directly next to Epperson Park. If you're downtown in that area and you see the Cal Fire Station, it's right across the street from Cal Fire Station, kind of behind where 7-Eleven is a little bit on Meadow Drive right there. And it's about an acre. It's where the old Twain Hart Inn used to be, which burned down, I think, about a little over 20 years ago. And so since that time, it's just been this vacant, dilapidated parcel with weeds, chunks of asphalt, trash. And so we're real excited to turn this thing that's kind of an eyesore into this really beautiful park.
And you mentioned you are a smaller district and the land was donated, a generous donation to the Twain Hart community. So how did you receive the money to actually do the park?
The park it's about a $2.6 million project. So that's, as you can imagine, far and above beyond our $150,000 in property taxes we get every year. So it's actually a combination of two grants that we receive. So we got one grant from the State Water Resources Control Board. It's a stormwater grant. And I can go into that a little bit of why we got a stormwater grant for a park, if you'd like. And then we also received a grant from the State Parks Department, and that is for rural recreation and tourism.
So how does the water grant tie into it?
So the water grant, and this is actually one of the coolest parts about the park. So you heard about some of the recreational elements that we have, but the entire park is really kind of a stormwater demonstration site. The whole park is watered with rainwater that's captured off of the roof of the big pavilion. And so we're not pulling from our local water supply. It's all rainwater and stormwater that's captured right there. Some of the elements have natural bioswales, which help clean the water as it goes through. And this has a lot of benefits. So you're talking about a one-acre parcel in a huge basin of Twain Hart, and we have all kinds of water issues in Twain Hart. You know, Twain Hart Creek, the water in there could be a lot cleaner. All that water goes down into Twain Hart Lake, which is a huge source of our economy and the visitors that come into town. And then we also have fire issues and water supply issues with drought. And so when you implement these kinds of improvements and on a park site, what you get is a landscape that's wetter. It's more fire safe. You're not using treated water to water all of your plants and your landscaping. You're getting cleaner water because as the water goes through all the plants, it cleans it up, and that's what goes straight into Twain Hart Creek and down into Twain Hart Lake. And you're just getting a really great a great way to naturally and beautifully clean and treat water and to more reliably use it. And all of our educational features throughout the park are not just designed to kind of give you a conceptual theory of how that works. They're really there to say, hey, look, as a 1 acre park, we can do a little bit, but as a community, we can do a lot. And they're really there to kind of show you, look how easy it is to do this on your own property. And so our goal really is to educate our community in a hands-on kind of a way so that they can do it on their own properties. And as we do it as a community, the impacts are really big, and you start minimizing erosion that goes through Twain Hart Creek. The project that Twain Hart Lake is undertaking right now to remove silt, all of that decreases into the future if people do this all at the same time and they lower their water bill at the same time.
Yeah, very interesting. So you mentioned the park construction is underway, and there was a groundbreaking ceremony already, correct?
Yeah, we had a groundbreaking ceremony in September. It was great. We had probably a little over 75 people from the community come out, which was awesome because it was It was held during the day when a lot of people were working. We had a really great blessing from some representatives of the Tuolumne Band of Miwok Indians. Really wonderful celebration, kind of a really great culmination of what I said has been such an amazing community effort. It really isn't a CSD park. It is a community park, and I think that's what makes it so exciting.
Are there any tentative timelines as to when this project will be completed?
Yeah, so right now we have grading is pretty much complete. Underground utilities is mostly complete. And we're just starting to pour the foundation for the pavilion. So then I think planting will probably start here in the next week or two. So you'll start to see things on the ground take shape more and more. And then really it's kind of going to be dependent on what kind of weather we get. So if this winter is a lot like last winter, then you're probably not going to see a whole lot happen. But if it has some dry spots in between the storms that we need, you'll start to see it take shape. So best case scenario, you're looking at a grand opening in summer of next year in 2024. Worst case, early fall 2024.
And as you mentioned, it kind of an extension of Epperson Park. Is it going to have its own park name, or are you planning to keep it just like one regional giant park?
Yeah, you know, it would make sense to do one name, but it's going to be called Twain Heart Meadows Park because the entire park is meant to reflect a mountain meadow, and that was part of what we came up with a donor of the land.
Well, we need to take a quick break. We're talking about projects and issues in Twain Heart. We're joined on the program by Tom Trott, who is the general manager of the Twain Heart Community Services District. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll continue our conversation in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherlode Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking with Tom Trott, who is the general manager of the Twain Heart Community Services District, getting up to speed on what's happening in the Twain Heart community. During the first segment, we talked heavily about the big park project that is underway in the community. That's exciting news for Twain Heart. General Manager Trott, you know, staying on that topic, you know, who's going to be doing this work? Were you able to find people from the area?
Yeah, I think that's another really great story with this being a community park. We don't have a lot of choice over who we get because of the way we have to bid things out, but we have great local contractors on this project. So they don't only, they're not just doing the job for money, which obviously that's what everybody has to do for business, but they have a vested interest in making this kind of a legacy project. So we have Neerich & Sons as the prime contractor on the project. They'll be doing most of the work, and then the pavilion work will be done by Jamie Roberson Construction. And we have Watershed Progressive out of Groveland who has designed a lot of it and is really doing a lot of the stormwater education elements of it. So a really great project, like I said, where you have not just the community being involved in the design, but you have the community also being involved in the building.
Yeah, it's fun to see this project getting underway in Twain Heart. You know, changing the topic a little bit, is there also some changes coming to the Twain Heart Community Center?
Yes, we're pretty excited about some upgrades that we're just wrapping up in our community center. We were able to complete remodel of the building, so the entire interior has been redone. Instead of the block, I mean, it was a block building before cinder block, so on the inside it looked a little bit prison-like, which doesn't create the best environment for parties and get-togethers and things like that. So that's all sheetrocked. We have new windows. We have new flooring. The kitchen has been completely remodeled. The bathroom is now ADA, and those are also remodeled. The parking lot, which had a lot of drainage issues and is very muddy in the winter, is now going to be paved. We have audio-visual equipment and internet in there now, which is wonderful because that gives us the ability to hold better community events. It's more of a professional place if people want to hold more kinds of community presentations and things like that. And then it's also a place where we're going to be doing a lot of fire training And so our fire division holds trainings and conducts trainings where people from actually all over the country come. We actually had a training where people from Hawaii have come out. So it draws a lot of people into Twain Heart and a lot of really great instructors and education that goes on there. And this gives us a facility to be able to do that. And it's kind of a neat story how this happens, because as I mentioned, our park doesn't have a lot of funding. So this building has been owned by the park for quite a while, and it's been in somewhat poorer condition for a while. And we've wanted to upgrade it, but just haven't had the funds to do so. So as a staff, we got together. We had a need from the fire division to expand our training facilities. The park had a need to upgrade these facilities. And so we came up with a solution where the fire division purchases half of the facility, and it's used partially for a fire training facility. It gets them exactly what they need. It gets park exactly what they need, and the community wins all around.
So the park aspect, was that able to come from your regular budget, or do you have to get grant funding?
That wasn't a grant funding. So that essentially what funded it here is the half purchased by the fire department gave the park the funding to be able to do the project.
It's interesting,
so
too, though.
Go
ahead.
Yeah. No, yeah. So the funds that came in from the sale of half of it was the actual thing that they needed to be able to do the upgrades.
It's interesting, too. You mentioned all the fire trainings that take place in Twain Heart and people as far away as Hawaii coming. What is the draw to Twain Heart for these types of trainings?
Our captains are certified instructors. They do a great job, but they also have a lot of networking with instructors that are known nationwide. So they'll actually come to Twain Heart and put on a lot of our trainings. And then it's not only that too, but our local community emergency response team, or CERT, they do a lot of trainings for the community too. So this is actually going to be a center where people learn how to put together their to-go bags for fire and all kinds of other trainings about emergency preparedness.
So you talked about the big park project, also the community center. Anything else in relation to parks or recreation that people in the community will be interested in?
Yeah, absolutely. We got another couple of projects coming up to improve our parks. We're expanding our pickleball courts here in the spring. Pickleball is a growing sport, growing very rapidly. It's in high demand. We currently have two pickleball courts. We're going to be changing that and expanding it so we have four courts instead of two. And then we're going to be putting down a sport grid type surface, which is better on your joints. It drains better. It doesn't require an extensive amount of maintenance. Currently, it's asphalt, and those courts are 20, 25 years old, and the asphalt's degrading, and you're continually having to do expensive touch-up and resurfacing of the courts. And so this kind of gets rid of that, but it also provides a really great court that meets the demand of the public. And that's funded mainly by a grant from State Parks as well. We still need to raise about $15,000, and so we're going to be doing a little fundraising effort. And just kind of a shout-out on this level, if anybody's interested in having better pickleball courts or interested in donating that, they can go to our website. It's www.twainheartcsd.com. And then at the top of the page, you can click on Make a Park Donation.
Might be drawing more visitors to Twain Heart. Pickleball is the big craze right now. A lot of people will be excited to hear that.
And it's a lot of fun, too.
A lot of fun, definitely. Anything else right now going on with the district of note?
Yeah, and I'll mention this, too. It's not just the pickleball courts, so we're not just partial to pickleball players, but we're also upgrading our tennis courts with that same grant. And so we're, like I mentioned, asphalt is degrading. It takes a lot of expense to maintain it. And so we're going to be converting the tennis courts into kind of a hybrid clay surface, which requires a lot less maintenance. It's easier on the joints. It actually slows the ball down, which is somewhat of an issue at higher elevation. So that's going to be another great project. I don't think there are any clay courts anywhere near around. So that should be another draw to Twain Heart. We're going to be looking at doing that in spring as well.
And the tennis courts and pickleball courts, those are all open to anyone in the public?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, beautiful setting there, surrounded by mountains and the beautiful scenery, too.
Yeah, I'm a little partial, but I think it's the best place to go and play. It's definitely not as hot either as some other areas of the county.
We need to take one more break. We are talking with Tom Trott, who is the general manager of the Twain Hart Community Services District, on this weekend's Motherload Views. Motherload Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. We'll have our final segment coming up here in just a minute.
Nate's Tree Service does more than trim trees. Nate's will remove tree hazards, clean storm damage, provide CDF fire clearance, eliminate beetle infestation, chip brush, and so much more. Nate's Tree Service is licensed, bonded, and insured. They even carry workers' comp for their employees for your protection. No job is too big or too small in the Tri-County area for family-owned and operated Nate's Tree Service. Call 532-2460. That's 532-2460.
We welcome you back to Motherload Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about the community of Twain Hart, focusing in on Twain Hart issues on this weekend's Motherload Views, talking with Tom Trott, who is the general manager of the Twain Hart Community Services District. You know, General Manager Trott, we talked a little bit about water during the earlier segments, but is there going to be a water rate hike on the horizon for local customers of the district?
Our board just adopted a water and sewer rate study last week, and we will be moving forward with a proposed rate increase. Essentially, what we did when we do the water and sewer rate study is we project out 5 years of our costs and look at what our revenues are at and see if they meet all of our goals and if, you know, we're still able to cover all of our expenses. And the bottom line was, is in our water and sewer rate study, we weren't able to. And there's a variety of reasons for that. You know, everybody knows and feels the impact of inflation. We haven't had a rate increase in about 4.5 years. And just in that time, the CPI shows that, for California, shows that inflation is up 18%. But probably even more traumatic, and these are our largest costs, is our capital costs. Construction, the Department of General Services from the state of California has a construction cost index. And that shows that in the last 4.5 years, construction costs have inflated 40%. So that's a huge, huge difference in what we've been seeing and proposed. And then also, as a customer of TUD, we get all of our raw water, untreated water, purchase it from TUD, and TUD also treats all of our wastewater. And so their recent rate increases also impact us directly as well. So we do have some 5-year rate increases proposed. Those are going to go out in the mail here probably in the next week or two, and then we'll have a public hearing in January.
You know, can you say, like, the average customer, what type of rate increase this would be proposed?
Well, like I said, it's over 5 years, so it's fairly even over 5 years. It might be a little bit up more upfront, and then tails off a little bit in the last 3 years. But the first increase is, I think it's roughly $4 a month for water and $6 for sewer. And then, as I mentioned, it keeps going for 5 years.
So keep an eye out for those. They'll be hitting the mailboxes soon?
Yes.
You know, water and sewer infrastructure, I imagine districts across California, that's a challenge to upkeep that infrastructure. Do you keep a close eye and do studies on the local infrastructure?
Yeah, absolutely. We really have to. You know, if you looked at the majority of California and actually the country, all of the water and sewer infrastructure, or the vast majority of it, was put in all at the same time. And almost every district and water agency and place that manages water and sewer infrastructure, they had these huge bonds and these huge things that produced the money to put it all in. But then they didn't put a plan into effect to save every year to be able to replace it when it starts to go beyond its useful life and get old and deteriorated. And as a country, we're pretty much at that place. I think the American Society of Civil Engineers grades the country's water and sewer infrastructure as kind of a C-minus, D-plus. So that's not a super great grade. Our district isn't really any different than that. We just recently had some grant-funded condition assessments performed on our water and sewer infrastructure, and they came back with a very similar outcome. They essentially said, look, your entire system, or the majority of it, is beyond its useful life. You've done a great job of keeping it in operation, and we continue to do that. Our operators are excellent. But really, we need to replace it, and it's just not reasonable to come up with the tens and maybe even $100 million that it takes to replace it all at the same time. So about 5 years ago, we put into our rates really that we're going to start doing this on a regular basis, taking little bite-sized chunks that are reasonable to our public every year to replace the places that are most important, highest risk first. And so we just finished up these condition assessments that really looked at the details and the specifics of the condition of our water and sewer systems, and found the areas that these are the highest risk, these are the most deteriorated, these are the places you want to focus on first. And so we have a five-year capital improvement program that looks at replacing those higher risk areas first. And the rate increases that we're proposing cover those projects that really hit those big areas first.
Does the state ever put money up for this type of infrastructure for grant-related efforts?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's something that we are continuing to go after. We've been very successful in the past. I think water-related over since our last increase, we've probably saved, I think it's around $25 a month just through grants that we've gotten to do capital projects where our customers would have had to pay for those through rates, but we were able to get grants. So I think it's about $25 a month for water, and sewer is somewhere around $6 a month through grants that we've received, and we're going to continue doing that, and hopefully we can get some help to continue to replace our degrading infrastructure.
Yeah, as you mentioned, if districts all across the state and other parts are having the same issue at the same time, I imagine it's pretty competitive to try to get that state grant funding.
Yeah, it's very competitive, and really the amount of grants that are available, they have to do highly on how the economy of California is doing. And so maybe not in the last year, but there's been a few years that were good, and so some water bonds were passed, and those come with grant opportunities. They're all competitive, and there's a lot of people going after them, and so you really have to have your stuff together and put together a good application, but we've been able to be pretty successful so far.
And then there was a big tank rehabilitation with a grant, right?
Yes, yeah, we're just finishing up. In fact, it may be done this week. We just rehabilitated one of our million-gallon water storage tanks, which is a pretty critical piece for water supply, not just operations, but for emergencies and for fire and all of those kinds of things. And it basically, over time, the tank structure of the roof degraded and was no longer able to hold the snow load that it should be able to hold. So at any moment, it could have, in the wintertime, it could have been, it was susceptible to being completely demolished because the tank would have caved in. And we got a $1.275 million grant to completely rehabilitate it, put a new roof on it, put a new structure that is more capable and more stronger and easier to maintain over time, and then recoat the inside and the outside of the tank. So that was a great project for us, especially to get grant funded.
You know, last year it was a pretty hectic winter, you know, a lot of water coming at one point in time and different atmospheric river storms. Are you still cleaning up following last year's winter storms?
Yeah, we are. We still have a few projects that we're working with FEMA to get cleaned up. Some of the things were emergencies, like, you know, a tree fell on our water lines and that caused a major break. Obviously, those are things that we had to deal with right away. But we've had some significant erosion around our fire station and some other areas that we're dealing with. People may notice if they're in Epperson Park by the playground, there's still an area that's fenced off with orange fencing where there were some significant sinkholes that were created because the majority of the storm drain system that goes through the community of Twain Hart has rotted out on the bottom. And so when you get these high storm flows, it takes a lot of the soil, because the water's really running on the soil underneath the pipe, and it takes it with it and goes out into the creek, and then you get a sinkhole. And so one thing I forgot to mention earlier is the Twain Hart Meadows Park, the stormwater grant, actually it's just one of four projects that are covered in this group grant that we put in. And one of those projects is to completely rehabilitate that storm drain, to line it so that the water that's going through it doesn't erode the bottom. It's a complete pipe. We don't see sinkholes anymore. It also comes with some great upgrades as far as drainage in the downtown area along Joaquin Gully too. So you're going to have some sidewalk improvements there where there haven't been sidewalks, so better for pedestrians. And then a couple other projects with the school and with our offices that are also going to be able to capture stormwater and make things more fire safe and using less water supply.
Well, Tom Trott, we'll have to end on that note. Thanks for coming on and getting us up to speed on everything going on in Twain Hart.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Again, we thank Tom Trott, Twain Hart Community Services District General Manager, for being our guest. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll see you back next time for Motherlode Views.
You've been listening to Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.